happy Mother's Day. But actually, it's not, because Mother's Day is an American event in May, which is why for 5 years when we lived in America, I forgot to send my mum a Mother's Day card, because in America, it's not Mother's Day in February, because Mother's Day is an American twist on what we call Mothering Sunday. Mothering Sunday is a Christian festival in the middle of Lent. Oh, look, we're in the middle of Lent, and here it is. It's a festival. It's a day of celebration. And in the old days, what churches would have done is have gone to visit their mother church. Now, for us, our mother church, i.e. the church that planted us, would have been the cathedral. So we would have met outside, and we would have done a pilgrimage together down to the cathedral to honour the mother church. You see, the reality is, each one of us who have faith here today, who follow Jesus, who call ourselves a Christian, the reason we do that is because somebody at some point planted a church. See, Britain wasn't where Jesus lived, right? We all know that, yeah? We're good on that? We've mastered that? So the good news had to get... Yeah, good one for Twitter. The good news had to come to this country. And it came by missionaries who brought the good news of Jesus, and those who gathered around and became Christians, those who follow Jesus, became church, and churches got planted. And this church here in 1825, it was opened to start a new church, a journey of faith, a journey of excitement. Come on, let's reach out to all these people who are moving in to get jobs in industry, and let's open a church where it can be a base of worship and mission. And just a few months ago then, Lizzie and I and some of us others and you crazy people joining in with us said, all right, let's start a new adventure. Let's see this old church on a new journey, to be a resource into central Manchester and to greater Manchester and beyond. See, we've been invited to be a church that plants churches. So I can't wait for a couple of years' time, when there are churches and missional communities that have been planted out of here that are saying, you know what, it's Mothering Sunday. We're so grateful because St. Philip's Church is our mother church. That's our journey. That's our destination. That's what we've been called to do, and that's what we're doing here. And I, for one, think that's really exciting. That sooner or later, hopefully sooner and later, there'll be churches all across Greater Manchester saying, we're so grateful. We're so grateful for the step that you guys took, that Bishop David, you took, saying, come on, let's do this. Let's see the kingdom come in our day and in our time. So that's all very nice. We can give out daffodils and we can say, yeah, we're going to plant churches. The question is, how? How are we going to do that? Well, we've been looking through Lent at the five rhythms of life, the practices that we're inviting us to take on as a church so that we can be a resource to other people. And these are the five. It's a rhythm of life. Jesus said, learn the unforced rhythms of grace. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. It's from the Message translation of one of Jesus' teaching. And we're trying to suggest that there are five, I'm sure there are way more than five, but there are five that we've determined that could help us on this journey that God calls us on. That we would be a people who are a blessing to others. That we're thinking each week, can I bless someone inside the church? And can I bless someone who's not yet in the church? So Lizzie and Rick and I, as Lizzie was saying, standing outside the school gates, giving out daffodils, going, hey, happy Mother's Day from St. Philip's Church. Most people were very happy to receive their flowers, brighten up their day. It was a beautiful thing to do. Eating with one another, sharing that quality time, saying, hey, we want to share our lives with you. It's not just about coming to church on a Sunday and going, you all right, mate? Yeah, I'm fine. Thanks. How are you? Yeah, I'm fine. But actually living life together with other people. Asking. Chris was reminding us, we're talking about praying last week, both active prayer. Lord, these are the places where we want you to move. And listening prayer. Lord, what are you up to that I might hear what it is that you're saying to me so that I can continue on the mission that you've called me to? And then today we're talking about the T, which stands for train. The T, which stands for train. And training, it's all to do with discipleship. You see, discipleship is the journey that we have been invited into, the journey that we've been called to by Jesus. We are disciples of Jesus. And the word disciple means learner or student. And here's a picture of some students. Not our students, but something from Google, which I found. Oh, sorry. That was the thing I was going to say. Here are the students. It's interesting that students, if you go on Google and try and find a Google search for an image, it's either in a classroom or in a library or surrounded by books or people looking a bit confused. That's basically the summary of what you find on Google if you want to find something about students. But the word disciple means student, and Jesus had a holistic view of what that word meant. It meant, I want you to learn from me so that you can do things like me, not just intellectually, but with the whole of our lives. And as the last slide said, which I skipped out, Jesus called us to do two things. First is to be disciples, and then to make disciples. To be disciples, and then to make disciples. That's the invitation that Jesus gives to us. If you've got a Bible, turn to John chapter 19. John chapter 19, it's the reading set for today. And as I said last week, all through Lent, we're looking at places where Jesus interacted with different people through the Gospel of John. If you need a Bible, there's some at the back. And Lizzie and Kat, thank you for grabbing them. But we're going to look very briefly at something that Jesus did, which challenges the way that we might think about discipleship, because it's this reading set where he's hanging on the cross. So this is Jesus. He's been falsely accused. He's had people say things about him that aren't true. He's been condemned falsely. And whilst he's hanging in agony, after having received the 40 lashes, which has nearly killed him anyway, and then having to carry his own cross outside of Jerusalem and having to have someone carry it for him because he wasn't strong enough to make it all the way, and then being nailed to the cross as he's hanging there. And you know how crucifixion worked, right? The kids have gone out, so I can tell you. It's asphyxiation. As your arms are stretched out, slowly but surely, you don't have the strength to be able to breathe, so you have a choice. Either you pull yourself up from the nails in your hands or your wrist so that your lungs can breathe, or you push yourself up from the nail that's going through your foot, or you choose to not breathe and suffocate to death. That's why it was such a long and painful death. And if you weren't going to die from one of those things, you were going to die from the bleeding that happened through the wounds that had been inflicted as the nails were put through your skin. John 19, verse 25. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there, and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, "Woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, the disciple took her into his home. In the moment of greatest agony, Jesus is thinking about other people. And he's calling his own disciple to look after his own mother. It's an amazing reading for Mothering Sunday. He's thinking of his mum. He's wanting her to be looked after, because in those days it would have been the eldest son if the father had died, which by the sounds of it, Joseph probably had died by that point. And John, the disciple who 3 years later, Jesus said, "Come follow me." The disciple had seen Jesus do all these extraordinary things, healing the sick and raising the dead and multiplying 5 loaves and 2 fishes for 5,000 people to eat. Come follow me. That's what it means to be a disciple. And I'm going to take a little bit of time just to think about what it means to be a disciple. And then Lizzie is going to talk about what it means to respond to Jesus' call to make disciples. Because, you see, we think that mothering is a brilliant illustration of what it means to be a disciple and be discipled. Did I say that right? Be a disciple of Jesus and be discipled by him. Yes. And be disciples of others. I'm getting confused now. Okay. It's a great example of how we can be discipled and how we can disciple others. Yes, got it right. If we're going to live the life that Jesus calls us to live, then he's going to support us and he's going to challenge us. Support and challenge is the process of discipleship. You see, as parents, as a mother, you want the best for your kids, right? That's the whole point. Mums are brilliant at wanting the best for their kids and cheering them on and calling the best out of them. And that's what the Lord wants to do for us. But it comes not just by support and going, oh, you're amazing, you're fantastic, don't worry about it, everything's fine. Actually, not everything is fine. And there are places in our lives where we need challenge. One of my kids is struggling at the moment with fractions at school. And it's a tender place in my heart, because when I was at high school, which was an all-boys school, I didn't understand fractions to the point that I cried in class. Yes, in an all-boys school, there I am crying because I don't understand fractions. Did it get mentioned again? A little bit. But Mr. Nunn, my maths teacher, took compassion on me and said, come and see me after the lesson. And so as a snivelling wreck and utterly humiliated, I went to talk to him and he explained to me what it was that I didn't understand about fractions. He supported me. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about the fact that you got upset. Are you sure? Okay. So I tried not to worry about it. And he helped me understand what I didn't understand. He supported me, but he also challenged me to do it myself. You see, as parents, you don't want to do something for your kids. You want to help them do it, don't you? Because if you're doing it for them, then that's not them becoming everything that they are made to be. So he got me to think through the problem so that I could solve it myself. And he was there to support me. It was support and challenge. So guess what I'm planning to do with my child who doesn't understand fractions? I'm going to call Mr. Nunn. That's right. Yeah. And if Mr. Nunn isn't available, I'm just going to have to try. I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to sit and explain and I'm going to challenge. Well, how do you think you do it? Supporting and challenging. That's what mothers do so well. And it's what Jesus does with us because it's what he did with the disciples. And real quick, here's a little grid to help you understand what Jesus wants for us, because his support and challenge are on a graph, as it were. And the first place we could be is in a place of low challenge and low support. And if we're in a place like that, we just become lazy because nobody's challenging us to do anything and nobody's supporting us to do anything. So we don't do anything anyway, right? We just carry on as we are. Who cares? Nothing matters. But if we're in a place of high support, oh, so much love, but low challenge. We don't need to change anything. We become cozy. Nothing changes. We're just a cozy little holy huddle. Oh, lovely. Well, Jesus loves you. Oh, Jesus loves you more. Well, great. But what about the people who don't know Jesus? What about the things in my life that aren't in line with the way that Jesus has revealed himself to us? What about the places in my life where the Holy Spirit convicts me, but I'd rather ignore him? Because it's uncomfortable. So let's put some challenge in then. Let's get some high challenge but no support. Well, I've been in churches like this. Now we're going to do this. Come on, everyone. We need you to get up and do this. And now we're going to do this. And come on, church. We need you to give more. And come on, church. And it's utterly exhausting. You end up burned out. Because nobody's supporting you. Nobody's giving you the love and the affection. And actually, Pastor, my life's falling apart right now. And I can't think about what you want me to think about because my mum's dying of cancer or because X, Y, or Z. What we need then is to be in a place of high support and high challenge, because then we'll be fruitful. And that's what Jesus wants for us, and that's what we are praying for each one of us, that we're in a place of high support and high challenge. See, support and challenge isn't just a sign of discipleship, it's a sign of love. It's the Lord wanting the best for you and helping you to become your best. See, Jesus supported his disciples. Luke chapter 12, don't worry, little flock. Luke 22, I've eagerly desired to eat this meal with you. Matthew chapter 10, if you acknowledge me before others, I'll acknowledge you before my Father in heaven. Don't worry, I'm with you, I'm for you. But he also challenged them. Mark chapter 8, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Doesn't sound like much fun. It said to Peter in the verse before, get behind me, Satan. John chapter 13. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. So we need to be reading God's word. We need to be listening to his voice. We need to be in small groups, gathering together. That's why I'm loving Wednesday Connect and the dream of that to multiply into small groups so that we can grow and support one another. And you need people in your lives who know the bad bits about you. Not everybody. Twitter doesn't need to know it. You don't need to put it on Facebook. Just have two people who you can go to and say, I'm really struggling with this. Would you pray for me and encourage me and help me? Allowing others access into our lives to be accountable, so that we can have that support as well as challenging one another. So if being a disciple of Jesus means we're doing two things, it first means we are being a disciple of Jesus. The Holy Spirit is in us and the Holy Spirit is with us, and we as church together are cheering one another on to be disciples of Jesus. But Jesus also said, make disciples. And Lizzie is going to help us think through what that might mean for us.
So I don't know about you guys, but being a disciple, I find sometimes just really tough, and it's really, really hard work, isn't it? And I'm very grateful that we've got the Holy Spirit helping us. But like Gareth said, we need the church family. We need to be trained up. And as a mum, for Mother's Day, it's amazing that we're talking about training, because that's my key role as a mom. In Proverbs 26, verse 6, it says, train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. Now, Lucy and Daisy and Toby, our guys, if I left them to their own devices, I didn't train them, I didn't challenge or support them, they would probably be having McDonald's, eating sweets, all on their screens, doing all those things that they dream of, not going to school. But by the end, it would get very messy. It would get really dangerous. And I'm sure they wouldn't have any teeth left and things like that. But Gareth and myself, we've always said, as a family, we're on a mission together. We're a family on a mission. And we do this together. And when we came here, we said to these guys, you know, we're going to do this, and you're the leaders too. And so here at church, we say, you know, guys, who are the guys that you're going to lead? Who are the guys that you're going to cheer on? And it's really, really important, isn't it? And sometimes I want to protect them. Sometimes I want to wrap them up in cotton wool. And I don't know if you were here a few weeks ago, Toby and Jacob gave us a beautiful interview talking about how they do life with their friends. And Toby shared about him just having a bit of a tough time at school and being bullied. And praise God, that bullying has stopped. But I, you know, if I'm really honest, I wanted him to be pulled out. And I just felt the whisper of the Lord saying, Lizzie, you and Gareth, you could teach him. You could help him. You could help him learn how to deal with those bullies, pray for those bullies. And so, you know, we did. We prayed for those bullies, and that bullying stopped. And it was such a joy. For when I interviewed Toby on the steps, and he shared with you guys that he'd been on this residential and that he'd prayed for his dorm. He led them in the Father's Prayer. And he'd prayed that they wouldn't have any bad dreams. And it was incredible, because for me, it was like, wow, he's doing what Gareth and me have taught him. And when I said, why did he do it? He said, well, that's what you and Dad do every night. You pray for me. So that's what I did. He's training his friends. And that's what we're called to do, isn't it? pass it on. We're called to pass it on. And it's not just for Gareth, myself, and the leaders of this church, Chris and Kat. It's for all of us, isn't it? It's for all of us. We're all spiritual parents. And I don't know about you, but we do have a lot of decisions in life, and they're tough. They're really, really tough. And I always say to my kids, you've got to, you know, listen to those who are wise. You've got to choose your friends wisely. And I love the Message translation in Colossians 3:15. It says, let the peace of Christ keep you in tune with each other. Instruct and direct one another using good common sense. It's brilliant. It's about who we hang out, who you're hanging out with. And Jesus, you know, he called his 12 disciples, but if those 12 disciples had kept it all to themselves, if they'd just learnt from him and then just kept it, it wouldn't have spread. We wouldn't have the church today. And that's what God's calling each one of us. He's saying to us, give it away. In Matthew 28:19, he's calling us, isn't he, to go make disciples. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So, we need to be asking God, who are those people that you've given me? It might be joining Rick's kids team. Maybe you've got a heart for kids and you can give it away. It may be joining Lizzie's team. Giving it away, helping with the students. It might be cheering on a work colleague or a neighbour. Gareth and myself, we invest in the staff team. We're encouraging them. Like Gareth says, we're challenging them and we're supporting them. They go together. And then they're doing that with their teams. And the idea is that those teams will then go and invest and give away. And, you know, wherever Gareth and myself have lived, wherever we've gone, we've always prayed the Lord would give us those people of peace, those people, those key people in our lives. And I'm praying that now. And back in Stockport at Glow Church, where we last planted, there were a number of young mums that the Lord gave me. And there was one particular girl who just loved. But she came to the drop-in. We ran a drop-in, and alongside that drop-in on the estate, we ran a garage which had like clothes and kids stuff. Anyway, she came in one day into the drop-in, and she was with her sister, and she said that she'd come along. She'd heard about this garage, and did we have any toys or clothes for her sister's baby? And I said, yeah, we have, and we gave them. And I said, do you want anything? And she said, well, actually, I'd like a sewing machine. And, you know, the week before, I'd been given a sewing machine. And this sewing machine was wrapped up in a black bin liner. And I'd received it, and I thought, okay, we're not meant to receive it. And, you know, I told everyone, we don't want all this junk in this garage. It was really, really tiny. We only had kids' toys and clothes. But I had like a little whisper in my ear, and it's just the Lord saying, just keep it, Lizzie, just keep it for a week. So I didn't give it to the charity shop. I kept it, shoved it in the corner of this garage. And so I was able to say, yeah, I've got this sewing machine. And she opened the black bin liner. Didn't know what it was, didn't know whether it was going to be like a really rubbish one. And she opened it. She said, wow, she said, this is the exact sewing machine that I would like. And I said to her, I said, well, that's the Lord. I believe that's the Lord saying that he loves you. And I believe in this guy. I'd love to share a little bit about this guy that I know. She thought it was a bit weird and, you know, a bit odd. And anyway, and then I said, do you want to come to church? She said, no, you'll never get me to church. I said, okay. Anyway, she started coming along to the drop-in. She started coming to the different parties that Gareth and myself would have in the house. Started to get to know our friends. And she then started to become a volunteer at Glow Central, which was where you could volunteer and give people cups of tea, started getting to know more and more people. And 2 years later, she came to church. And Gareth and myself had the privilege of just watching her and her life change. Gareth married them both, and it's just such a joy to see them and see how God's turned her life round. And that was just a simple, simple, simple thing. But the Lord can do the extraordinary and the ordinary, and he can use every single one of you. And he's asking, who are you going to give it away to? And, you know, I could tell you lots and lots of different stories of where he's done that. So, who is it? Who is it the Lord's calling you to give away this stuff to? Shall we stand and let's ask the Lord to